Hello, welcome to episode number 257 of the Applelog Podcast. I am your host, still Simon Head. Would like to thank everybody for shopping on Amazon and supporting the show. You too can do it the same way by going to applelog.ca/Amazon or applelog.ca/USAmazon. And you can do it the old-fashioned way, too, by going to applelog.ca and click on those banners located on the right side. Locate your country, whether you're from Canada's, the USA's, or the UK's, and bookmark all those links. And every time you shop on Amazon, use the links to shop and support the show, and it costs you no extra money. Amazon's a good place to shop because they seem like they already know what you want to buy because you click on it, and all of a sudden it ends up at your door within, like, 5 minutes. It's insane. I don't know how they do it. It's crazy. Look out, normal stores. Amazon's on the prowl. I don't know what that means. Patreon. You can support my show on a monthly basis by going to patreon.com/applelogpod. You can pledge as much or as little as you want to help with hosting and gas fees, and you can cancel it at any time. Go buy a t-shirt from applelog.ca/shop. They are once again running out. You can buy some music there if you want to, if you want. If you want to connect, go to applelog.ca/contact and send me a message if you want to be on the show, if you know somebody wants to be on the show, or if you just want to comment on one of the shows you've heard, because there is 257 of these mother effers out there right now. Where was I? Oh, yeah, iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes and give it 5 stars, please. Like the show on Facebook by going to facebook.com/applelogpod. And follow me on Twitter at SimonHead666. And I don't catch up with Twitter, so I don't really have too many followers because I do the Facebook, and the Facebook works, but Twitter just seems to be a little bit too much. I don't do Instagram because I don't like showing pictures. I don't do Snapchat because I don't want anybody to see my wiener. That's what Snapchat's for, showing your wiener or your boobs. So anyways, who's on the show today? My favorite person, one of my favorite people on earth. His name is Kyle Gordon Stanley. He is a very, very dear old friend of mine from a long time ago. He played drums in a band called Closet Monster. He is also played in a band with me for a little while, and he's just a good guy to talk to. He loves birds. He loves talking. He's a very, very thoughtful, kind person, and I love him dearly. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kyle Stanley on the Applelog Podcast. I think for like the 8th time. You know when the Queen movie starts and you can't finish it? It's similar to other movies that I've seen before, but Bohemian Rhapsody is a great movie still. Still.
How many times have you seen it?
I've probably seen it about 5 times.
Really?
More than I've seen the new Star Wars.
I saw it the once, like about a year ago, I think.
What'd you think?
They changed. Music was good.
Yeah.
I really liked how the bass player was the kid from Jurassic Park.
They changed a lot of the, obviously the timelines are different, but it was their movie. They can tell the story however they want, because there's like a lot of timeline issues, right?
Something about it felt off to me. Like, I enjoyed the camaraderie band moments. I thought those were written fairly well. Mm. And, easy and fun to watch, but overall something, it felt odd. Like, it felt like it looked like a Lifetime movie or something for like half of it. It was just, it made me uncomfortable, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Visually.
Did you see Yesterday, the movie Yesterday?
No.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Every minute of it, it's beautiful. You know the premise of the movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. The beautiful movie.
The last three I saw that I really liked, did you see Uncut Gems?
No.
A lot of fun. Yeah. Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't seen it, but I want to. It's in the...
It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I like Knives Out a lot, too. Mm-hmm.
This is weird because I don't really... Because we have a little movie theater in our little town here, but it shows pretty good movies, but it's only 2 movies at a time because there's only 2 cinemas.
Yeah. I like those theaters.
Yeah. So how you been, man?
I'm okay. How are you?
Been very well. Just, you know, it's January. Life's busy. It's February, I mean.
February.
It's February. Then, yeah, life's busy, man. You know, work and love and life and new job, kind of. New job-ish. Everything's great. How about you?
Same old.
Yeah. You're an Ajax, though. You're closer to me now.
Yep. I'm getting a lot of more traction with the hard times people. Are we recording?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I've got two articles out since the last time we talked, and looks like another one coming right now.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I have one for you, but I'll tell you after because it's a pretty good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually have something to talk to you about after, too.
Ooh, cool. All right. Good. Yeah. Awesome. Is it about drugs?
No.
Oh, okay, good. All right. Well, there you go.
My eyes that red.
So life in Ajax, how are you down there? How's life down there?
It's okay. We're in a very, like, big place, but it's still a basement, and it's very dimly lit. Mm-hmm. And after a year, that's really starting to get to us. Psychologically.
Well, yeah, it's the whole thing about natural light. You need it to...
Yeah, like we make sure we go out of the house every single day, but the majority of time we're just uncomfortable. Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's the time of the year. They called, there's one day in January is supposed to be the most depressing time of the year.
Yeah.
I can't remember what date that is. I think it's, I don't remember it because I was too depressed. Yeah, man, there's like definitely this time of the year when the seasonal depression kicks in, everybody has it. No matter what, there's always a little bit of it. And you need you need to get outside. You need to sort of breathe the air and understand, you know, how it is. And
we're sun animals. We're not salamanders. We don't live in the caves.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. No,
yeah. And the last place we lived had like such big windows, great exposure, and in the morning especially it was fantastic.
Yeah But I mean, you know, I don't miss, because we had my studio was in the basement of our house, and the same thing, I only had like four windows, and it was like, it was not conducive to good vibrations, that's for sure.
You spent a lot of time down there too.
I did.
Like those were 10 to 12 hour stretches at least most of the time, right?
Yeah, a lot of it was long days. It used to be upstairs. It used to be in the main sort of area upstairs.
Well, that was where the rig was at first, right?
Yeah.
In that front room. And then you turned it into when you got the big TV and the speakers.
Yeah.
And watched Phantom Menace over and over again.
Oh, yeah. That's where it turned into. It did turn into like a media room after that, because my whole thing selfishly was like, we're going to buy a house and the studio is going to be in there. I want to be in the best room of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And then eventually moved downstairs. But those rickety stairs, there's those crazy stairs that were on.
Yep.
Remember them? They were on a motor. You hit a button. It was not a car garage door opener thing. And you'd open up and, oh, man. So many times. I'm surprised nobody killed themselves on those stairs.
You did a really good job with that room, putting it all together.
Yeah.
What have you been doing around your place lately?
Here? Nothing really. I still have a corner of the basement. That's my world over there. You know what I mean? In different parts of the house. This is our family room downstairs. But big windows. We were just talking about big windows that I can look outside if I want to. It's been... We're going to be redoing our kitchen soon, so it's going to be, like, probably kind of chaotic around here. And kitchens suck. Like, doing kitchens, it's like, there's always something you miss, and it's always, an issue of just, oh, we should have done that, oh, I wish we'd have done this, and, you know. I think when you recorded down here a while ago, we actually, the room was being built, I think, when we recorded down here. The basement, you came and Teenage Bottle Rocket song.
It wasn't...
What's that?
Like, it wasn't finished what you were doing with at the time.
No, man. So are you playing much drums, or what are you just off the drums?
Yeah, for right now.
Yeah.
I don't have the time or the inclination, and my left arm's starting to feel weird.
Oh, really?
I think I should start again.
Left arm feels weird.
Oh, not really. It's just I lie on it a lot and I wake up and it's numb all the time.
Yeah. I mean, but for you and drumming, you kind of just, you, because you took a big break and then played some drums with us, and it was sort of like, it's like you never really stopped playing drums. It was a crazy.
I was amazed at how well I did. I would have bet money I wouldn't have been half that good. A weird thing is I was a lot better at certain things like fast fills.
Yeah.
That was my real weakness when I was younger, and I pretty much had it down. I really lost a lot of wrist control, though, like really fast, snappy, like, you know, jazzy, flammy stuff.
Yeah.
That I'd really need to sit down every single day to get that back.
Yeah, and you didn't really do much warming up. You kind of just sort of came and did some drumming. I was very impressed because I don't think I could. Like, I've been starting to play more bass lately, and I just know I need to practice. Otherwise, my fingers will fall apart. Like, they just literally, my fingers will just peel off and I'll lose it, you know? But
I didn't even have that problem.
I know. It's
like,
insane.
I had one blister that entire time and lasted for maybe 12 hours and it was gone.
You're a robot, man.
Oh, well, the rest of me's falling apart.
Yeah, well. Yeah, that's what happens with age, man.
It's a lot of fun. I'm 40 now.
Yeah, I know. 40. When did that happen?
September.
Jesus Christ.
I had a rocket ship themed birthday party.
You know, mine's going to be, I'm going to be 50 this year. I'm going to party like you're 5.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play laser tag, get the party room at the laser tag, and then we're going to go to the McDonald's party room. Party like you're 5. No, not really. But it is a big 5-0 for me this year, man. 50 years old.
And that's right at the start of the summer, so what are you going to do?
I actually think we're going to rent a big Airbnb house and try not to have like what's called the infamous gang murders, where people come and murder people. You ever seen those things where people big... They had a thing happen close to here where Airbnb got rented, and then it was like a gang fight, and a guy got killed.
Yes, yes, I did hear
just
about...
10 minutes down the road from here. We're not going to... That's not going to be... So if anybody's coming to my party, there's going to be no gang violence. I promise. I promise that.
But it'll be somewhere close to you?
Yeah, somewhere in this area. Yeah, there's a place. We're trying to find a place. Maybe there's a place we found on the Skugog Island that it's like reasonably priced, and it's an Airbnb, and it's like 6 bedrooms. And I think rather than doing it here at our house, which we could, it makes sense to get a place that is bigger so we can have more people, because it's kind of a special event, I suppose. 50 years old is a, you know, considered would be, where would that be in your lifespan? That would be not midlife. That would be like almost like 16ths of a, I can't do math. What is that? What is that in fractions?
We're looking at like 66%.
What'd you say? Like, yeah, 66%.
Give yourself 75 as a nice like round thing to shoot for.
Depending on what everything your body mass index is. Yeah. If your body mass index is above a certain amount, it could be 70% of your life. Depends on where you're sitting on the body mass index scale. But I don't do math. No, but it is, it would be, it's a pretty monumental thing, man, because, you know, punk rock and music and hard times and rocking and rolling, it takes it out on you, man. Like, you know, long nights, long drives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whatever the psychological terror that seems to have, it seems to have on a good percentage of the people who do it, it's, you're really lucky to make it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm
losing people.
Yeah, I know. That's true, man. That was Pete Carmichael last month, but that was a sad situation. You remember Pete, right?
I never met Pete. Every single person I know knows him. Our friend Tara Huck was in his band.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you go to the memorial?
I didn't. I missed it. You know why? This is so rock and roll. I was stuck in the West End interviewing Mark Holmes from Platinum Blonde.
Right on.
Yeah, sorry, Pete.
He couldn't get Johnette?
Well, I went all the way out to High Park, or as Mark Holmes would call it, I Park. I went all the way out to I Park to, and so I did. I was supposed to do the interview at 10 and have it done by noon and be out there by 2, but it started late, ended late, and I could have got there for like 15 minutes to spare. And just to hang for 15 minutes to come all the way home again. So it didn't work in my favor. You know, but Pete was a good dude, man. There was this moment, I haven't really told this story, but there's a thing about Pete, when he played guitar solos, When he played in this band called Lavender, and he used to record a lot of the Lavender stuff, and that's with Andre Tompros. And
Then I must have met him because we played with them that night. We covered their song.
Yeah, you would have met.
And I saw them early on, like 2 years before I met you. I saw them at the Moon Room,
and they're very Swerve Driver-y, and you know, very kind of like that sort of vibe. But we did this recording, and Pete was recording in the studio that we were just talking about 10 minutes ago, and he played this solo. And what he taught me was one of those things. He did this really weird break right at this perfect part where he actually didn't play a note. And he's like, and then gave it like a good beat to get back into the solo. And the best part of that solo was the part he wasn't playing in. Does that make sense?
Like Mario Lemieux letting the pass go to Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, it was one of those moments. It was like, holy fuck, you've done something that has nothing to do with the music part. You know what I mean? And
yep.
Yeah.
You're definitely a person who would notice that too.
It was
who would pick up on that and remember it.
Yeah, very special moment, you know. And he was a good guy, but I had him playing on a Foursquare song that I did a record in 2005, and I got him to come up where I worked at the time to play some 12-string guitar, and he came up and played it. And he's he's always kind of a weird. He was a dark guy, but from what I heard, it wasn't suicide. From what I heard, it was a medical thing that took him. It wasn't suicide. So, but
I didn't hear anything either way.
Because I just heard that it was like, I heard a story and it was like, okay, that could be true, but I didn't believe it until there was an actual document, like a doctor actually after said no, actually it was a ruptured artery in his abdomen that killed him. Oof. Yeah. And it was like, oh, okay, better start taking care of myself, man. It's there's that fear, right? You have kids,
kids.
and it's an inherent fear of like leaving before they can even cope with the fact. And yours are getting older though, right? They can handle it.
My daughter was at the doctor yesterday.
Yeah.
And she sent me a message and said, so mommy's filling me in on her side. What do I have to worry about on your side of the family?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Basically, the women are fine in my family. It's the men who are screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because your dad's been gone for a while now, right?
Yeah, 12... just over 12 years.
Yeah.
And no one really makes it far past, like, 60, 65-ish.
What is it?
On my mom's side, though, that's a different story. That's right. It's a little safer there, but there's less men.
What is it, cholesterol, or is it...
Anything. Yeah. Hearts are weak, susceptible to, lots of bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my family's,
This is the most morbid one we've done. We are the 40 and the 50-year-old.
That's right. We're talking about heart problems. Yeah. My family, it's cholesterol. So my family always has high cholesterol. So, both sides. So, that's the thing I got to worry about.
Have you been following your diet?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been pretty good. I mean, every year I do that Ride to Conquer Cancer, or this year I'm doing it. This will be my...
Which is incredibly impressive, given that you... How much do you prepare for that?
I do. I start as soon as the snow melts. But I walk about 3 or 4 times a week. This past couple of weeks, I've sort of let it slide. But I try to get out and do about 4 kilometers when I walk, about 4 or 5 kilometers on this loop I do. So I'm constantly moving. Last year, I started... As soon as the first melt of snow, and I did 2 rides a week, I did sort of a little ride and then a larger ride. And then every time the little ride got bigger and the larger ride got bigger. So by the end of it all, I was doing a 50 kilometer and then waiting 2 days and then did a 90 kilometer. So I was like gradually giving myself more kilometers to do. The first time it was like 17 kilometers and turning around and coming home. And that was enough. But compared to 2 years ago, I thought I was going to die. There's part of this one ride I don't remember. I don't remember it. It was like I blacked out and I rode the last 40 kilometers not knowing what was going on. Like I rode to the finish line and Spring takes me. She looks at me and she goes, you better come with me. Because I was just like, I don't know what's the matter. Just speaking nonsense
That ride, that's fairly flat the whole way, isn't it?
There's a couple of hills and there's a couple of trying bits, but primarily what gets you is the wind. because there's wind on the second day. If you don't get going early enough, there's this wind that comes like in the escarpment that just clips you. And it
I know it.
It's brutal. Oh, yeah, because you live in it's a brutal
the wind.
Wind
there is insane.
Yeah.
So roofs got torn down constantly.
So what happened was I ended up getting up at 5 in the morning, ate my breakfast, and I was on the road by like 6:30. So I was eating lunch at 8 in the morning. So I was at the lunch stop at 8 in the morning. So I was like well on my way. And I think I've told the story on the show before, but I got the last kilometer, there's a pub called the Boathouse. And our team were supposed to meet there. So we'd ride across together, the finish line. And it was a kilometer out. And it was like 11:30 by the time I was like ready to cross the line. So Spring was with the kids and they were in like Niagara, like doing like the wax museum and taking the Ferris wheel and stuff. Yep. And I said, I'm ready to go across. She goes, well, we're on the Ferris wheel. Like, we're going to miss you. So wait. So I'm like, okay. So I ordered a pint at the Boathouse pub. And that's where I fell in love with Belgian Moon beer. The white beer. And mm-hmm. I had a pint and then I had another pint and then two of my teammates showed up and they had pints. So I had three pints and I had a kilometer ride to do the last, and I waited to one. So I had three pints in about 2.5 hours. And then I ended up like riding across the finish line lit. Like I was pretty wasted. And then we had two more before because you give you two beers when you finish, you're allowed two beers because Steam Whistle promotes it, sponsors it. So I had like five beers, and then we got in the car and Spring drove us home. But 2 years before, I had some food and a few beers, and we walked up the hill to put the bike on the rack. I sat in the back seat and immediately fell asleep. I don't remember leaving the parking lot, and I woke up going across the Burlington Skyway. Just woke up like, whoa. And I'd never fallen asleep in a car like that fast ever. I was immediately down. So like the difference between 3 years ago and last year, it was day and night, man, because I did train and you have to, like, and I thought I trained enough, but I knew I wasn't going to put myself in that situation again, man.
I don't know what much about bikes, but what kind of bike are you riding?
I have it's a bike's called Giant, and it's an older bike. And my first bike I did 3 years ago was a Walmart bike. So I rode a Walmart 10-speed, 220 kilometers, which no foot straps or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just a regular bike. And it sucked so many dicks. It sucked so hard. It was so bad. And it was the worst. And I almost, like, I didn't do it the next year because I was kind of traumatized by it. And
I never liked 10 speeds. I was always a mountain bike guy, like a BMX sort of style when I was real young. But when I got older and was riding down Westney Road to work every day,
yeah,
it would be a mountain bike for sure. Big, thick wheels.
Yeah, because I never trained on the road. I trained on trails. So I have a mountain bike too. And that's how I just rode. I'd rode a mountain bike up the railroad tracks. There's trails that take you all the way to Lindsay. So you can ride from here and never see a car. So, which is beautiful, because riding on the road up in this area, it's very dangerous.
I don't like riding on the road, period.
No, it's super sketchy.
At all.
And the thing about up here is all the road bike people, kind of douchebags. And they kind of ride in packs, and they kind of block the road. And I kind of get the spot why, you know what I mean? Like, kind of why the drivers are angry, because they kind of ride like assholes. They ride like in packs. And I don't have a pack to ride in, so I don't. So I ride about 5 minutes on the road. And then the rest is on trail, and it's a beautiful trail. And it's just like, it's kind of flat, so I can go as fast as I want, and I can kind of limit how fast or slow I want to go and limit how fast I want to hurt myself, basically. Like, and it's much more effective for me because it's enjoyable, because I like riding bikes, but I hate riding on the road. Same thing. It's super dangerous. And at least on these Ride to Conquer Cancer, it's a track. Also, it's like a controlled situation. And it's not super dangerous. There's no cars going to run you over, or you know, that I know of.
That's good. Yeah. Speaking of running in packs, I've heard them before, but last week my son was staying over. He has had a strike day. Mm. So we got to hang out in the middle of the week, have a little sleepover, and went outside to take the garbage out and immediately dropped the garbage, came back, called him outside, and as soon as he got outside, it stopped. But there were I don't know how many coyotes just going absolutely bananas.
Really?
Just, they're, hear them about once every 2 weeks. I'm sure they're around all the time, right outside, across the street, just at the outside of this tiny little pathway that goes to some wooded area. There's tons of deer walking around there all the time. I see their tracks. I've never seen one yet.
Yeah.
But, and the, we thought of, after that, that with how crazy they were going, that they might have just taken something down.
Yeah, they that's what I think, that's what we think got our cat. Our cat disappeared, like right before Halloween a year ago Halloween, disappeared. And it was like, where the hell is the cat gone? And we figured, well, there's no remains, there's no like dead cat anywhere, so we figured the coyotes took it, or one, because I've seen one run around here. And yeah, those bastards, they're like, they call them coy wolves. Coy wolves sound a little bit more sexy than coyote, don't they?
Isn't that the, they interbreed?
Something like that, yeah, yeah.
Wolves and coyotes?
Wolves and coyotes, yeah. But that's what I see up here, the coy wolves. It's a quaint sound.
I just heard a story about a guy who had two dogs. I don't know what the first one was, but the other one was a very, very large pit bull. And the first one, a coyote got in the yard and sort of just had its way with this dog. So the owner brilliantly sent the pit bull out, and then all of a sudden there's five coyotes.
Oh shit.
And they're basically velociraptors, and they tore the thing to pieces.
No way.
Attacking in a pack, like, you can't beat that.
No,
unless you're the size of a bear or a moose, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
Well, even then you're lucky.
Yeah, there's there's where I ride my bike, there's apparently black bear running around. And I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that. So where I ride up, like, I saw something run across the trail, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I kept riding, but it didn't scare me. I didn't think there was going to be anything insane. But yeah, apparently, because there's a dump close to where I ride, and that's where all the bears hang out. And they, yeah. But I saw one out east. I was riding my mountain bike, and I saw a bear cross the road. I'm like, there's no goddamn, and it was during the day, and it's weird seeing an animal like that just running around during the day. And maybe it's just something they see every day, but I did not investigate. I just saw the thing, and I turned around immediately and just rode back. And
yep.
And my whole fear was like, is there going to be a bear jump out and try to eat me? Like, so I just started riding. I rode twice the speed back to the campsite than I rode out. Cause my big, where we were camping, we were about 30 kilometers to the ocean, so you could ride to the ocean. And I was going to ride my bike to the ocean, and that bear fucked the whole plan up. I'm not riding in that ocean. I'm going to have to jump in.
Another wildlife problem that apparently we're having in Ajax is rats.
Ugh.
Last summer, there was either the demolition of a building or the construction of one on an old site, and it just disturbed a nest. So the south was flooded, and actually I saw the first like wild big rat I've ever seen just outside of the Sobeys at West End Harwood.
Like, how big are they?
Just from like tip to tail, like a foot.
Yeah, it's
big enough. And fairly like fat.
Yeah. To the end of the tail or to the start of the tail?
No, to the end of the tail. Yeah, like, yeah. This one wasn't huge, but, you know. Yeah, no, maybe 16 inches of the tip of the... Jesus,
yeah. Yeah, it's big.
Now that I'm thinking about it, Jesus Christ.
I saw one in Manhattan once. I was walking around in the dark, and I saw one run across the sidewalk, and those are like New York ones, and I was thinking like the thing was going to look at me and go, hey, what are you looking at, boy? You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus Christ, these things look so badass, like rats. And there's, what was that documentary that showed all the rats? I can't remember what it's called. There's a documentary on rats. I think it was just called Rats.
There's lots of rats in the Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah. And snakes.
Mm-hmm. And snakes. He also doesn't like rats.
Doesn't like rats or snakes. yeah.
Guy doesn't like anything.
I know.
Guy likes little old statues.
How could he like go into old temples and see skeletons and cobwebs and big spiders and go, okay, I draw the lines with these fucking rats. Okay. You can put skeletons in my face and have a guy killed in front of me, but no rats. Please.
And he's going to be back to do it some more.
Is he? You got to be. Oh,
I think so.
Oh my God. What's it good? What is going to be about? Is Shia LaBeouf going to be in it?
He basically is something he could be searching for now. He's a relic.
That's true. It'll be him and a bag of sand and like Like, what are we gonna do? I'm who's the bag of sand? I'll be the bag of sand. Yeah, that's always my favorite thing to do when people talk about Star Wars. I always go, spoiler alert, Han Solo dies. I always post that. People seem to get a giggle out of it. Spoiler alert. Yeah, man, I don't know. Speaking of Star Wars, did you see the last Star Wars? And
yeah, I took the kids to each of the new ones.
And?
Well, wasn't for me. I liked enough of it while it was happening.
Yeah.
Like, it was a fun enough time at the movies. But as soon as I left, I sort of forgot about it.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, it's really hard to wrap up 40 years? How many years?
Yeah, it's been 43 years.
Yeah, 40 plus years of everybody's notions of how they want it to end or how they want it to go.
Yeah, and I didn't have any like preferences or anything. It was just as I'm starting to realize more and more how they are a lot more geared towards a younger audience, and just I don't appreciate bombast for the sake of bombast as much as I used to in terms of visually. Maybe it's just my eyes. I just can't take it. It's like getting raped in the face.
It is.
Every
kinda
modern movie should just be called kill fuck. That's, that's not my joke, but it's one of my favorites.
The fact, you know, and I'm going to spoiler alert this, but the fact that Kylo Ren and Rey kiss is completely and utterly was unnecessary.
I didn't, that's the thing. Is it because the other ones seem to have an emotional resonance with me because I've lived with them since I was born?
That's exactly like what it was.
I was lucky enough that my brothers were, well, really only my one brother cared, but mm-hmm. he was 7 when the first Star Wars came out.
Yeah.
So in 79, when I was born, there were already action figures in the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they didn't show up for anybody else really my age until 83, 84, when they all got released on VHS. And that's mm-hmm. when all the other kids that like in my primary school would know what it was.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
So it's the I can't really compare what's essentially, that's a completely modern movie.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very different to the ones they made before. It just makes me appreciate the first one more.
Yes.
Because just the notion of like it's science fiction, but everything looks real.
Yeah, yeah,
It's not a Flash Gordon set, like an obvious, well, like, you know what I mean, soundstage. It just looks so good, and it felt like it felt like something that was actually happening.
Well, the real
and
Star
I don't
Wars.
Get that from any of the newer things at all.
Well, the real
except the Mandalorian, which I think feels a modern show feels as real as you can these days.
Haven't seen it, but.
I think you'd really love it.
I think I would too, but I'm waiting to figure out what we're going to do, if we're going to do Disney Plus or not, because we already do Crave and we do Netflix. And it's like, are we going to spend $40 a month on four different services, or are we going to drop one kind of thing? We haven't even figured out what we're going to do. But to the first three episodes, that was story first. And because people were so dumb about looking at what special effects were, that you could fool people really easy about what the special effects were, because it was completely out of its time. Like, he was inventing ways to create.
He took a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
And that's really all anything takes.
Yeah.
When you're talking about a technical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People, you don't rush to build the Large Hadron Collider. It's not going to work.
Yeah,
I think it's just that simple. He conned enough people into giving him just enough money and just enough time to make something that his crazy brain saw.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
Well, George Lucas has even been quoted in saying, the reason I waited so long to do the next trilogy is because they hadn't caught up with us, with his ideas, what he wanted to do technically. They invented whatever that form of camera work, where it's on a computer on a servo, where the camera moves a special way so they can optically do all the special effects, because that didn't exist. Like, he invented that, which ended up getting used by other you know, special effects companies,
THX.
Yeah, exactly. He invented a sound system. Can you imagine trying to talk to all the movie theaters now and go, we'd like you to add four more speakers. Could you do that for us? Because we're going to show Star Wars in this movie. It'll sound amazing, you know, and it, to be able to convince so many people to do such a thing. I mean, you know, and the thing about the new, I got to tell you, though, I really enjoyed Rogue One. And I did because there was no lovey-dovey thing. The only thing that happened...
I did, too. I thought that looked pretty real, too, and felt more real.
The thing at the end where the guy goes, "I'm so your father would be so proud of you," that moment where they hug and then the world explodes. Spoiler alert. and Han Solo died. That, to me, was a moment, like a real moment that you could one day... you know what I mean? Like, you could associate yourself with. And I think that's the thing about movies. You need to be able to... convince people that it's real, and it's not just through the images, it's through the whole experience to be able to sort of enjoy it, right?
It's true, and it's really hard to maintain that balance when you have to have like big bad villain figures who are cartoonishly evil. That's a really hard thing to pull off.
Yeah,
because, you know, fantasy and science fiction, I've liked them my whole life, but they really do ask a lot of you, and if they ask too much, it sort of ruins the experience. Yeah. At least for me.
Yeah, I agree. I totally
agree.
That's why
I find it a lot easier with books. You make all the pictures yourself.
Yeah.
So you can't fuck it up.
Yeah. Well, what happened?
That's a cat in front of the
screen. There's a cat in front. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
I definitely, and the whole thing about like what you said before is being a kid, kids enjoy Star Wars. It's a kid's movie, and they've never said anything other than it is a kid's movie. That's why.
And my kids fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Both of them. They had a great time at all three of them, and that's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, and because then you can watch it as a 7-year-old or as a 9-year-old. Like
it didn't cost that much to go, man. I snuck candy in.
Ooh. Oh, you hear that? You hear that? As you go, like, okay, who brought the can of pop? Who brought the can of pop? You're breaking the rules here.
This isn't a twist-off.
When we saw it in our little theater... and we saw the premiere. They premiered episode seven Thursday night before the Friday opening. And I bought tickets, and I think I posted on Facebook. They actually look like baseball trading cards. That was our ticket to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took April and Everett to see it. And the best part was the low-rent cosplay that was happening. Like, Darth Vader was wearing Sorrels, like black Sorrels. It's so brilliant. I took a ton of pictures, and it was just the funniest thing because there was this whole family of nerds showed up, like, and they were all dressed like characters. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And I was like, kind of like, oh, maybe we should have dressed up a little bit or whatever. Yeah. Did you go see that? Were you part of episode one where you guys slept over at Scarborough
Center? It was me, Mark, Jeff Ledger, and
Jesse.
Jesse, yeah.
And I ended
the four of us.
I had to work. And I ended up sneaking in. I jumped the line. Do you remember that? Because I saw it with you guys.
Yeah, because we slept...
You slept over.
We slept outside of the place a week ahead of time when the tickets went on sale.
Oh, okay. You were invested.
And then, that's when they went on sale. So we had to make sure we got the midnight showing. And then we bought enough so that we could make sure like some people could go, and you were one of those people. I sat next to you.
That's right.
I had the best movie snack I've ever had in my life, and I've never found it again. It was these chocolate-covered cookie dough bits.
Did you bring any yourself?
Never saw the... No, bought them there.
Oh.
That was before I had the balls.
The best was we were watching it, and that long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, these fucking two guys got up these fake lightsabers and start fake lightsaber fighting, and it was the funniest thing. It was, and people were like, yeah! Like, we were all, like, so ecstatic to see this movie. And then the best is when it ended and lights came up, and people were like, fuck that.
when we got out of the theater, we were standing, like, I remember exactly where we were standing, outside of the, just down the stairs, and you just went, I didn't like the Gungans.
Yeah. Well, I remember Mark going, Spick was like, I don't know if I liked it. I'm like, what I did say was, well, yeah, because you didn't have 20 years of your life to absorb this. You know what I mean? That was the thing I said about it. It's like, you didn't have your whole being Star Wars episode 4, 5, and 6. You know what I mean? Like, to absorb it, right? So I tried to say, try to watch it like an 8-year-old or something and see. And then it sort of did calm the seas a little bit, because I remember Jesse and Spick, and I don't remember what your reaction was, but I remember this guy getting out and just yelling at the usher, like, that was the worst.
I didn't really have one. I was sort of like trying to think of like the things I liked about it. But again, it didn't feel like it was in the same universe to me, that one.
No.
It was fun enough. I mean, like, Liam Neeson's fun. The bad guy was good.
Yeah.
There was a lot of wasted time and some really bad writing around the kid.
Yeah.
That's like, and like, kid things for kids can be great. So don't give me the excuse that it's for kids when it's shit. Like, he really mailed in a lot of the dialogue there. And that is very grating to adults, I think.
That's because you wrote with a number two pencil, that's why.
With all the shit talking about a movie like that's taken, the funny part is that when you watch the credits, and credits for those movies go on for a long time, because those people, it takes a lot of people to make that.
Yeah.
99% of those people did their jobs perfectly, like better than you could have asked them
to. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't matter to anybody.
No,
that's such a weird.
Yeah,
like, how many other industries can 99% of the crew do a fantastic job, and everyone goes, "The fuck is this?"
yeah. What do you call this? The thing about that movie too, that I learned later on, is that the fastest computer they had at that time was the Pentium 4, and they had four of them running just to do computer animation, and it would take you would do a scene where it move around, and you would just hit execute and go eat some snacks, go have a sleep, and wait for it to render, and then watch it and go, I don't really like it. You know what I mean? Like, so there was a lot going into that movie for the time it takes. We have computers, like one Pentium 4 is like your iPhone's faster than, you know what I mean, now. And you think about the screen refresh rate. And I watched it. I watched it on TV with commercials. And It seemed okay. Like, it still seemed believable. Even when that movie came out in 1999? Yeah. You think about the time it takes to, you know, whatever. I mean, they made Gone with the Wind. It's 3+ hours, and it looks pretty good still, I guess. I don't know. But it was one of those movies you're like, it still looks good. It still looks believable. And, you know,
It looked great. Like, yeah. And that's really, again, like, I don't know if this is just a form of like giving in, but what else are you going to ask for from something called Star Wars?
It's true. I never thought of it that way. What if it was called space opera?
There'd probably be a lot more singing that I don't want to hear.
That's right.
Opera is absolutely fantastic until they start singing.
Yeah. The thing about it too, I've worked a lot of operas, and you got to kind of keep looking at the subtitles. We did Carmen at the theater I worked at years ago. And it's like, it's a pretty awesome story, obviously, but I wasn't watching. I was reading what was happening, and I was working the show. Like, I was the sound guy on the show, and my only job was to make sure the backstage sound speakers worked. And then I just sat behind the mixing board and watched an opera for like 5 days. But the part of operas now is like, if you don't know the story, you got to read all the subtitles and then absorb the story. That's an opera. Operas are going to shit these days anyways, because nobody's got money. Operas lose money. Lose a lot of money.
When's the last time you went to like a musical? Like as a fan, like a ticket buying.
Oh, last time I saw, we saw Mamma Mia.
Oh, really?
Hated it. Hated it.
I actually said to Melissa about 6 weeks ago, I just stopped in just mid thought and said, I can't believe they got away with ABBA.
Hated it. It's horrible. It was like, how do you shoehorn a bunch of mediocre 70s pop songs into a story? How do you do that? I know. We'll make Mamma Mia. That's how we'll do it. People will love it.
They did.
Hated it.
They were absolutely right. People loved it.
They love it. It was a funny thing, but the thing about it, we got the tickets as a present from my mother-in-law. And
that's exactly how I ended up seeing The Sound of Music in 2008.
I see. In Sound of Music, because I got another Sound of Music story. But anyways, where we sat in the box, I could see into the pit. And I thought, well, if anything, I get to see the musicians play. But it sounded so bad. it sounded so garbage that we actually, during intermission, said, we need to move seats. Like, this sounds garbage. Like, this sounds like shit. So they ended up moving us into different seats, and it still didn't help anything. Like, it didn't help a thing. It was like, I don't know, man. I can't believe they made a movie out of it. Like, I just can't believe. Oh, not, but two movies. Like, two.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Mamma Mia, here we go again. Hated it. Hated it. But I did hear, I never saw, like, the new modern ones, like American Idiot. I heard that was pretty good. Jersey Boys, like all these type of musicals that are apparently better. The producers would have loved to see the producers.
Oh, I finally watched I haven't seen that in any form, but I watched the newer movie about a year ago with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick.
And
I think Will Ferrell's in it. He's the crazy Nazi soldier with the pigeons.
Yeah.
Yeah, super funny.
Yeah, the only thing I know about the producers was when Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm, they revolved a whole season around it. Yeah. I watched that, and that was funny because Ben Stiller was in it for a while, and all they would do is just argue, and then David Schwimmer ended up replacing, what's his name, in it, and it was just, I don't know, I thought it was funny. But I've never been a musical guy. I just think, I work a lot of them. Like, we just did Sound of Music at my theater with a community theater group. Mm-hmm. And, I got to tell you this thing. So anyways, we're doing, in Sound of Music, there's a very, very crazy scene where Nazis are involved and swastika flags come flying in during the show.
Yep.
So anyways, I have a client coming in to do a site visit, which happened to be a Jewish group. And what I did tell the crew, and they didn't listen to me, hey man, can you fly those fucking Nazi flags and just tie them up so nobody sees them? Because we're doing other shows in between this musical. I would not like to have anybody from the audience look up and see these swastika flags, these Nazi flags. So anyways, I do a site visit and I go, turn on the lights, and I look up and there is two big Nazi flags, and I said to the Jewish group, and I said, pay no attention to the red flags in the sky. This is for Sound of Music, and I do apologize. It was the most awkward situation.
Like that Curb episode where Larry gives the kid the sewing machine and he makes a swastika pillow. Yeah.
it was one of those moments where if you could write that into a show of some sort, like a musical, another musical about musicals, that would be fun. A couple of coworkers of mine are actually thinking about writing a musical, and I'm going to be tasked with writing all the music for it. But it's basically for backstage crew, and I don't know what they're going to call it, but the whole idea of the show is to actually have a musical based on the showing of a musical, but from the crew's point of view.
Okay.
And there's a lot of gags. They're thinking about, they're getting a lot of things down. It's going to be like traditional musical stuff, like, and it's going to be very, very, very fun to do. I mean, the first thing I think about when musicals is like, yeah, I got to find parking and get some dinner. I'm okay.
Like, sit in an uncomfortable chair for 2 hours, get an $8 glass of wine at intermission, then sit in an uncomfortable chair for 2 hours.
Tell you somewhere to sit. I'm like, I do this all the time. I don't need to. Yeah, it's like my whole life is scarred from.
That's why I asked, because you've been working in a theater for so long. I was like, does this guy ever go to see anything?
No, not anymore. That's the interesting thing. Like, I can't, and it's with rock and roll too. Like, I can't go see shows. Like, I went and saw the Get Up Kids. Was it summer? And my whole life was judging. The whole thing was judging the whole thing. Like, I wouldn't do it this way. I was like, how do you, I need to be able to disconnect. And I don't like all these people. I don't want to be around these people. People bumping elbows with me. I want to go backstage where I can be by myself and sit on a couch. And that whole part of my life now is like, I can't be in crowds. It's weird. Can't deal with it.
What about in a situation like mixing at Young Dundas? You okay with that? Is that like worth the money?
Because I can disappear. I can just go wherever I want to go. I'm not sort of relegated to being in this one spot and having to sort of you know, claim my space and be worried about anything like, or, you know, I don't think it's not like a fear of crowds. It's just like I just don't have the tolerance for that many people around me anymore.
Yeah, like I said, it's bombast for the sake of bombast. It's just, it's a lot of stimulation in every direction, and I'm just too tired.
Yeah, it's exactly, I'm with you, man. I am with you. And then when someone says, hey, you want to come down to Lee's Palace and see my quasi-OK band? I'll get you on the guest list. Like, dude, you could blow me. I will not come down. I'm not coming down. Even if you, you know, even if you promised favors, even if you paid me for my gas, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it anymore. And I don't know why. And that's part of my, maybe I got to get, you know, whatever, less judgy or, ugh, I don't know. One day, what would probably get me is if I moved down there. If I moved down to Toronto, like, for instance, if our kids happen to move away from the house and we don't need this house anymore, it'd be kind of fun to live downtown.
You think so?
I think so.
I honestly thought you were country for life now. You're born and bred country. Yeah. You moved down to the city for a long time and then you went back out. I thought that was it.
No, because to me it's like, if, for instance, we lived in a condominium by the distillery district, because we went down there for like a Christmas market thing to go hang out with some friends. And I was walking through the distillery district and there's these condos there. And I look up and I go, these guys could look at people all day long. Like, they could just sit on this balcony and just look at all these people walk around. I'd be kind of into that for some reason. And
you could definitely still do your walks and bikes down there.
Totally. So, I mean, if there's either move further away or move closer to the city. And
what do you think your son's going to do? You think he's going to be a go away to school kind of kid, or?
He's thinking about it. Yeah. He wants to go to Algonquin, which is in the Ottawa Valley or Ottawa area. So he wants to get into architecture and design. So this is a newish thing for him. So he wants to actually go to college. It's pretty cool.
Architecture and design.
Yeah. And spring is actually, she told me tonight, she said, I actually imagined our drive out there, like where we drop him off.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, don't start crying. Like, you know.
that's.
He can't even switch off his own bedroom light.
That's pretty much all you're going to hear for the next 2 years, too.
Yeah. He can't even switch. He can't flush the toilet yet. How the fuck is he going to live in another? How the hell? Is he going to be able to sort of survive in life when he can't even flush the toilet?
You're going to have to slip a 50 to his roommate and just, yeah, you know, make sure the toilet's flushed.
We're sorry. We tried so hard. He just wouldn't do it. I tried. I threatened to fine him. I threatened to take the light bulbs away. Still.
He's pretty good at cooking ramen. Other than that, you're kind of out of luck.
He's pretty good at eating peanut butter and leaving the peanut butter out. And I'm sorry. We're going to pre-apologize for all the shit your roommate's going to do. Yeah, you know what? He's a good kid, though. He's been working up working at the ski resort, teaching snowboarding. So
yeah, he told me about that.
He loves it. He loves every part of it. He loves that. It's too bad we can't have winter year-long, because when the summer hits, he doesn't really want to do anything but teach that, do that type of stuff. And he's like a natural, like, with kids. Like, he's a good soul. He's a good person. I'm proud of him. It's
I
weird.
Liked him when I met him. I wasn't surprised at all that he was your kid at all. wasn't surprised at all.
Well, there's a few things, like, and I'm sure you can appreciate this, is when you take your children out to the public, they are extensions of you. They're extensions of your teachings, you know. And when we go to a restaurant, my big thing was always eye contact with the person that's serving you. Please and thank you. And I swear to God, we went out with April. We were at a little restaurant in town, and she does the eyes up. Hello, may I please have it? I'm like, oh my God, it melts my heart.
I had that moment last week. I was walking to the, and this is my version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Was walking to the store with my son, and he told me a joke that was one of the sickest, funniest jokes I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're walking along and he just goes out of nowhere. And this is a kid who's had trouble expressing himself in his life. He's that's just part of his thing that he has to deal with. And out of nowhere he goes, I don't know why they say cancer's so hard to beat. I'm already on stage four.
Wow.
And right. I was just like, I just taken aback, like, oh my God, I am so happy right now.
Like, Brings a tear to your eye.
I even told his mom, this is the kind of thing I would have hid from her like 4 or 5 years ago. You know the joke he just told me? It was amazing.
He's played that game of cancer and he's kicking its ass.
Oh, man.
He made that up by himself?
I don't think so, but he's starting to appreciate I don't want to say just dark humor. He's starting to appreciate good jokes.
Satire.
Like we were watching a Simpsons and he was laughing at all the right ones.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. April and I were driving home and I put on we had Spotify on and I put the Bob and Doug McKenzie record on, and she's 13, and when I first heard that record, I was 13. And we're driving home.
So was I.
And she was laughing, like crying in laughter. And this is like humor from 1983 or whenever that record came out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it completely and utterly resonated with her. And she was giggling and laughing just about it. And she didn't know why, but she goes, this is very funny. So we listened to like the 12 days, 12 Beers of Christmas and that whole thing where they talk about like, so if you want to turn it up real loud, you know what I mean? Like Zeppelin. She has no idea what that means, but she starts howling with laughter. And I thought, that's good. That's good humor. It still somehow connects.
Oh, it is. Like thanks for coming in, Getty. Hey, well, 10 bucks is 10 bucks.
10 bucks. Well, did you get the lyrics? Well, yeah, I memorized. Whoa. How'd you do it so fast? I'm a professional, eh? Like, I know almost every word to that record. And the funny thing about that, the album was more successful.
Can I get a coffee with triple cream, triple sugar, and a six-pack of Crullers?
Oh.
A six?
The six, yeah. Go to the dentist. I didn't eat dinner. Well, you're not going to eat breakfast either, eh?
Oh, you're blowing the floor.
And he puked. And he puked. About the coffee sandwich story? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a moment. I remember reciting as a 13 or 12 year old boy, reciting that with my friends. Like, we memorized that as much as we did like Monty Python's, like, and things like we knew every word to that.
I was the only person I knew who had it.
Really? I have two copies upstairs. I found two copies. The funny thing was, one's mine and one's Spring's. She owned it, I owned it. Yeah, great.
They just this summer tore down Art Thompson Arena.
Oh,
that's
really?
Where they filmed the Strange Brew scenes.
That movie has a friend of ours in the movie scene, in the movie theater scene. Her name's Crystal, and she's actually Dan Aykroyd's niece. And
neat.
Yeah, that whole group, like the Trigger Happy Days and the MSI days, there was this girl, Crystal, that hung out with our little crew. She was from Etobicoke, I think. She was Dan Aykroyd's niece, but she's in as an extra in that movie scene.
A couple of my brother's friends from their hockey team are in Youngblood.
Ooh,
with Rob Lowe.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, you know what I just watched? What's that? Oh, Rob Lowe plays a cop. Oh, Super Troopers 2, where Rob Lowe plays a detective. I just watched that a couple of nights ago.
Again, I saw that like a year ago. I don't remember much. I remember being happy. It wasn't bad.
No, what's his name? That Canadian guy, Will Sasso.
Super happy it wasn't bad.
Will Sasso is funny in it. Is that Will Sasso? He plays
Tyler
French Canadian.
The
French Canadian cop.
I think. Tyler the Bean.
Tyler.
No, is yeah. no Will Sasso's in it too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Tyler the Bean is too. Was he the Mountie?
Tell me that. Yeah, no.
He's the guy. Have you seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
No.
Oh, okay. That's like, it's the kind of movie that would have been on the tour bus if it had been released 20 years earlier.
Yeah. So, man, kid's 40 years old. That's insane, dude. I remember when you were 20, you were 19 years old when I first met you. How old were you when I first met you?
18.
18.
Just turned 18.
What year was that?
97.
97, you were 18. Holy shit.
Mm. And you were just, you had just turned 27, I guess.
I had just turned 27.
Oh, and you seemed ancient.
I was old. Still am. I will always be older than you, Kyle.
Mm.
Eh,
Stephen Hawking's dead, man. The rules have changed.
That's true. He is dead. He's dead. So, well, I'm glad you came on the show again, man. It's been a while. I think it's been about a year. And I was trying to think how many times you've been on the show. And I think it's been, we're going on either 6 or 7, I think.
I was just about to say 6 or 7.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you hold the title for the most amount of guest appearances. I've always said it. I'll say it again. You gotta, if you're ever interested in taking over and doing a few episodes of this show, you're more than welcome to hold the reins for a few shows.
I forgot you offered them. Yeah, let me think about that too.
Yeah, because you know it's busy, and this is we're going. I'm on my fifth year. I've been doing this 5 years.
Mm-hmm. You're getting up there in numbers.
Yeah.
Which number is this going to be?
257.
I like that. I bet that's a prime number.
Well, I tell you, it's taken me a long time to get to 250 because I had to take a few weeks off here and there. And we'll talk about it after when we get off air about a few things that I got coming down the pike where you can really help, actually, the thing we're talking about, where you could take a few episodes and run with it. And I could definitely help you with the editing and uploading and stuff like that. But because I got some other stuff that I'm wanting to do. All right, man. Thanks.
Bye.
And that was Mr. Kyle Gordon Stanley. Just a nice conversation. Good guy to talk to. I love having people on the show that have been on the show before because they kind of know what the show is all about. Happy Family Day, everybody. Today's Family Day. Day off for a lot of people. A lot of people working on Family Day. It's a Family Day thing. It's a family affair. So anyways, thanks so much, everybody, for helping me out on Amazon, shopping on Amazon. You can do the same thing. Go to apolog.ca/Amazon or apolog.ca/US Amazon. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way. apolog.ca, click on the banners. Support my work on Patreon. Patreon.com/apolog. And every week we strive to I have a team of people working upstairs. Okay, keep it down up there, everybody. I'm doing the outro. No, it's just me. So yeah, I strive every week to get a nice episode out for everybody, and I really appreciate all the nice feedback I get. But I gotta always do with more. So if you want to get in touch with me, apolog.ca/contact. Send me an email. Okay. So everybody, have a great week. We'll see you again. Bye-bye.